There are many different ways to organize Hilchos Bishul, and we're seeking to learn Al Seder Shulchan Aruch, which at this point, at least in the Simin, is also Al Seder HaMasechta. That's why last week we began with the Bishul Ba'ur, Bishul B'chama, and Toldos or Toldos Chama, which is Siv Gimel, and is also the Mishnah on Lamed Ches and the Beis. As you saw, that's the first of the Mishnayos that this in Masechta that specifically addresses the Malacha of Bishul Shabbos in a direct way. And that's why this week we move into the world of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, where we will be spending probably 3 weeks. In the world of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, this takes us already to Sifim Dalet and then ultimately Sif Hei as well. Next week, I think we're going to continue to be in Sif Dalet, the other half of Sif Dalet. That's why this week's Maariv Makamos don't feature any Shulchan Aruch. Next week we'll put the two pieces together. Davar Lach and Davar Yavesh will be ready to move to Shulchan Aruch as well. And the Limud in terms of Al Seder HaGemara, so in Bishul Achar Bishul, the Mokar is ultimately that Mishnah Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis, but the discussion we've shown him is really Daf Lama Tes Saman Aleph, because as you've seen, that Mishnah is quoted here. There is a Gemara Kufman Hamabez as well, and we'll come back to that Mitchum later this afternoon. But the primary conversation is really in the Rishonim here in Lama Tess Amid Aleph. There is a big machlokas of Rishonim here in Lama Tess Amid Aleph about when does Ein Bishul Achar Bishul begin. And that's what we want to get into right now. But before we move into that, just by way of introduction, thinking about what Ein Bishul Achar Bishul looks like. The Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis talks about, can I take something and put it into a pot of hot water on Shabbos? We'll get further into the details, but that's what it sounds like. I have a pot of hot water, I have a pot of soup, can I put something back into the pot of soup? So if the noodles were already cooked, so not only can I put them in the bowl of soup, I can, even if I wanted to, I can put the cold cooked noodles back into the pot of soup. I took the soup off the fire. The soup is now Friday night sitting on the counter, or sitting on the trivet. So I can put the already cooked noodles into the pot. There's no concern that there is Bishul B'Kli Rishon, and we'll get to that further on. As we get deeper into the simon, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, that if I put raw food into that steaming hot pot of soup, that's the Kli Rishon, that would be a problem of Bishul. But since the noodles are cooked, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. The noodles were ba b'chamin milifnei HaShabbos, to use the language of the Mishnah, Kufa Mehem Beis, here, Kord Lamates Sabat Aleph. The noodles were already cooked on Friday, on Thursday, on Sunday. So in Meila, I could shor nosu b'chamin Shabbos. I could re-soak it in the hot pot of soup to rewarm it, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That is true. It's just important to recognize that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul has its limits. To take something, even which is fully cooked, and put it back on the fire, on the heat source, Al Gabi HaEish, to do that on Shabbos, that is going to be Asur Midrabanan. There is a series of Isur Midrabanan that have to do with putting food or leaving food or returning food to the position of Al Gabi HaEish, not just in the pot of soup that's now on the countertop, but Kli Rishon Shel Al Gabi HaEish, but to actually put it back, Al Gabi HaEish, to put it back on the fire, that's a series of Yisurin Drabbanan, which we'll hopefully deal with towards the end of the year. Those are this comes up somewhat in Simin Shin Ches, also headquartered mostly in Simin Reish, earlier in Simin Reish and Gimel, some of the Simon that follow, in terms of Gemara, actually, one of the major addresses in Shas is the first two blots of this third parakira. From the Mishnah Lamed Ches, you begin to talk about the Malach of Bishul. But the parak begins with these Yisurin Drabbanan of Shehiya, sometimes usher to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, to allow it to passively stay in the fire on Shabbos. Sometimes that's usher. More frequently, there's a problem of Hachazara, taking food off and actually actively put it back on Al Gabi Eish, and even more a problem is Nesina Mechadash. The food wasn't even on the fire, just take it out of the fridge and put it Al Gabi Eish. That's even more severe. Shehiya, Hachazara Nesina Mechadash. These are all Isur. If the food is already cooked, if the food is not cooked, so then certainly Hachazara and Nesina Mechadash present the problem of Melechas Bishul. If the food is fully cooked, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, but still, I may run into one or more of these Yisurim and Drabanan, Shehiyah, Hachazara, Nesina Mechadash, if it's Al Gabe Ha'esh. So when does Ein Bishul Achar Bishul actually help me? So number one, the example that we gave, the example that the Mishnah Kuf Memeh gives, which is Shalom, a Kli Rishon, Shalom Al Gabe Ha'esh. So all those Yisurim of Shehiyah and Hachazara, Nesina Mechadash is when it's Al Gabe Ha'esh. Right? If it's Shalom Al Gabe Ha'esh, which could mean I'm putting it in a hot pot, but there's no heat source below. Or it could mean I'm putting it next to the fire, but not on top of the fire. Which we'll get to that later on. The Tanam talk about putting something keneged hamadura. I'm going to put something next to the facing the fireplace. So that's not al gabe esh. If there's a problem with bishul, that's a malacha daraisa. Bishul kate doesn't need to be al gabe esh, as we discussed last week. Bishul betoldos ha'ur is an ister daraisa. So to put raw food in a hot pot of soup, and a kli rishon, that's bishul daraisa. But if it's already mavushal, ain't bishul achar bishul. So as long as these dinim drabanan, the bishul could take place even shalom al gabe esh. But these dinim drabanan are only al gabe esh. So if it's shalom al gabe esh, like in a kli rishon that's taken off the fire, or keneged hamadura, or maybe we'll talk about, you know, if you're on the counter next to the fire, but not on top of the stove, next to the stove. So those scenarios of shalom al gabe ha'esh, that's one type of one class of cases where ein bishul achar bishul matters. If there's a bishul problem, you can't do it. But if ein bishul achar bishul, then it's heter gamer. And another class of cases where ein bishul achar bishul matters, lemasa, is sometimes is mutter even al gabe ha'esh. There are rules, for instance, of hachazara. Sometimes hachazara shehiya is sometimes aser, sometimes mutter. Hachazara is sometimes aser, sometimes mutter. The famous set of conditions. So if I'm going to do hachazara, I took the pot off the fire. Sometimes I am allowed to put it back on, assuming some of those conditions relate to ein bishul achar bishul. Obviously, even if there's a blech or whatever else I may or may not need. But the heter of hachazara begin with the assumption that ein bishul achar bishul applies. To take raw food off the fire and put it back on Shabbos, obviously forget about dim drabanan of hachazara, that would be a problem of meleches bishul daraisa. So that's an important, very, very important sidebar. Right now our focus during these weeks is not those dim drabanan. Our focus is the melech of bishul daraisa, but it's important to realize when these rules will have practical application. Okay, so let's focus now on ein bishul achar bishul, which again is a principle on the level of doraisa. And as we were saying, so the Mishnah Kuf Mem Hei Beis is a source called Shabbat Chaim Lifnei HaShabbos, and it's quoted here on Daf Lama Tes. And the Rishonim raise a critical question of when. The Rashba here on Daf Lama Tes Samnaf, as you saw, the Rashba says that's right. Ein bishul achar bishul, once it was cooked, there's no putting it back on the fire, near the fire, is not going to constitute a further act of cooking. There's not going to be a second violation of melechas bishul. See, he says, how cooked does it already have had to be in order to allow you to reheat, to put it back, to apply heat again? The Rashba says, as long as nizbashal kemachal ben drusai, as long as it's partially cooked, so then already he say ein bishul achar bishul. The Rambam and Tosfos both disagree. The Rambam is very clear in the beginning of Perek Tes, Hilchos Shabbos, as we began to see, is where the Rambam talks about the dinim daraisa of melacha bishul. And halacha gimel, Perek Tes halacha gimel, the second half of the halacha, he says beferish, if you're mevasho al haor davar shay mevushal kol tzarko, if it's fully cooked, then there is no longer. Then there's no longer any malacha bishul. This is your potter. Potter avalaser, because if you put it back on the fire, it's still going to be a dindra esa drabanan. But no longer the malacha deraisa of bishul. The Rambam is very clear, it's only with bishul called tzarko. Tosis as well is very brief about it. There's Tosis on Lamatessa Med Aleph. Most of Tosis is dedicated to the issues of klirish and klisheni. So we'll return to this Tosis in Mirtz Hashem when we get later in the siman to the issues of klirish and klisheni. But the opening lines, he says it means nisbashel legamre. Nesbasha Lagamri. So that's a machlokas Rajba versus Rambam and Tosas. There are other Rishonim who get involved in this as well. Those are the most famous names. Beis Yosef gives you more. Beis Yosef points out that Rabbeinu Yerucham agrees that it needs to be Mevushal Kol Tzarko, agrees to Tosas and the Rambam. The Hagos Maimini and the Baram the Rambam raises other issues. The Hagos Maimini and the Baram the Rambam has a line about it has to be Nizbashal Kol Tzarko, like the Rambam. And finally, the Mordechai, beginning of Kira, Simon Shin Beis, quotes the Re'im, Belezer Mimitz, who is talking about another issue that we'll get to in Sefei, but in the course of talking in Bishul Achar Bishul, makes the comment that, of course, we're talking about Mevushal Kol Tzarko. So there's a line of Rishonim along that, and on the other hand, there's a line of Rishonim as well, who line up with the Rashba. The Ramban agrees with the Rashba. There's a Rush, who is important. We'll get to the Rush next week, because he's talking about some other issues as well. In the course of discussing the other issues, the Rush assumes that Kemachal Ben Drusoi, you're ready, once it was cooked, Kemachal Ben Drusoi is partially cooked, you're ready, can apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So this is a big machlokas harishonim. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul means kevin shen nesbashal kamachal ben drusai, or only the position of the Rashba and the others, or only once it's nesbashal kol tzarko, the position of the Rambam, Tosus, and others. Now, what is this kamachal ben drusai? It makes sense of this first question. What exactly is kamachal ben drusai? So machal ben drusai is, everyone agrees that Machal Ben Drusoi matters for Bishul. It's interesting. In the context of Mesechah Shabbos, Machal Ben Drusoi comes up, as you saw earlier in Daf Chaf. There it's all about Dinim D'Rabbanan, the very top of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. So Gemara talks about Machal Ben Drusoi is being relevant for the Din D'Rabbanan of Shehiyah, of leaving it on the fire from before Shabbos. It matters whether the food is already cooked to Machal Ben Drusoi or not, at least according to some Tanaim. That's the position of Chananya. And the Gemara also says at the top of Chaf Amud Aleph that it's relevant for Bishul Akum. If something is already cooked, Kamachal Ben Drusoi, and then the Nachri puts it back on the fire, so that's not going to be a problem, Bishul Akum, because it was already partially cooked. So that's similar. That case of Bishul Akum is very similar to the Ein Bishul Achar Bishul of Melacha Shabbos. It's a Din D'Rabbanan Bishul Akum. But that sounds similar. It was already partially cooked. When Nachri puts it back on a second time, that's parboiled. That's not because there's a practical solution. Sometimes there are foods that are come partially cooked, and you're supposed to finish it off at home or finish it off in a commercial kitchen. So that's similar to Bishul, to Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'Shabbos. It's ironic, though, that Machal Ben Drusoi, in terms of the Hagdara of Bishul Daraisa, only appears in a Gemara. It does appear, but only in a Gemara in Menachas. Menachas Nun Zayin and Aleph, as you saw, that's where the Gemara, in a Kachem context, the Gemara mentions that what's the minimum shear of Bishul B'Shabbos? Forget about a second Bishul, the first Bishul. A fellow takes raw food, and he puts on Shabbat, Rahman son, takes raw food, puts it on the fire, puts in a klirishon shal gabe esh, whatever it is, Phil takes raw food and starts to cook it. And the cooking, as you know, is a process. So how far does it have to get in its trajectory before he takes it off to have violated the malacha of Bishul Daraisa? When we talk about shiurim and hilchah Shabbos, often we're talking about the volume, the amount of material you're dealing with. We're talking about kigrov geres, it's a volume of food. I've seen Kigur Geras as a shear throughout Sidur of the past. But here we're not talking about how much material are you working, how big a piece of food are you cooking. Here we're talking about qualitative shear, how cooked did you get it? So the Gemara there is explicit, that once you cook a Kemachal Ben Drusoi, I took raw food, and I cooked a Kemachal Ben Drusoi, I take it off the fire, I violated Bishul Daraisa. That is the minimum qualitative shear of Bishul. Once you get it to Machal Ben Drusoi, I violate Bishul Daraisa. The Rambam quotes it here in Perek Tes Halacha. Hey, get some of the details there, a little complicated, because here it's talking, I have a slab of meat that I'm being sola. Discussion about one side, both sides, but Hanogei Lianenu, it's clear that Machal Ben Drusoi is a shear Daraisa, the minimum shear Daraisa for Bishul. Again, when it comes to Tzli, I may want to be Machal Ben Drusoi throughout the piece slab of meat. I'm dealing with cooking something in a pot, where typically, anyhow, be more uniform. Once the soup, let's say, gets to machal then drusai, so that even if I take it off the fire at that point, I have violated bishul daraisa. So clearly, machal ben drusai is a definition of bishul daraisa. As an aside, machlokas Rambam and Rashi, how you define kemachal ben drusai. Rashi says in several places, including on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph in Masechet Shabbos, then when he tells you who this ben drusai was, he was not a tzaddik. Listim haya. He was a criminal. He was often on the run. So he didn't necessarily have the chance to relax and cook his food fully. One, two, three, swallow it, and back on the road. And Rashi says, what is it? It's shlish bishulo. Whereas the Rambam writes, for instance, here in Parak Tes, halacha hey, he doesn't use the terminology kemachal ben drusai. Kedarg, that's Rambam standard Rambam practice. He always tried to. Typically, will translate the expressions of Chazal into just prose. But take Chazal poetry and turn it in the Mishnah Torah into prose. He doesn't use the terminology of Machal Ben Drusai. He just says Chatzi Bishul, Chatzi Bishul. So that's important Machlokas, the level of Daraisa between Rashi and Rambam, whether Machal Ben Drusai is Shlish Bishulo Rashi or Chatzi Bishulo Rambam. But now let's come back to the bigger picture. Everyone agrees that whatever machal ben drusai is, if I take raw food and I get it to machal ben drusai, that is considered to be cooked. I violate, if I do that on Shabbos or Chamal Tzan, I violate a malacha deraisa of Bishul B'Shabbos. I don't have to get, even though I never got to Mavushal Kol Sarko, I've already violated the malacha deraisa. So with that in mind, that's something everyone agrees to. So now the question is, 1 second. So how do we understand this machlokas we showed him, a level of deraisa is, let's say you put it back on the fire. So someone cooked it until machal ben drusai, whether on Shabbos or before Shabbos is at this point irrelevant. And now this fellow comes along and takes this partially cooked food, chati bishulo, shlush bishulo, rambam rashi, and puts it back on the fire on Shabbos, puts it back in klirishon on Shabbos, and cooks it until it is mavushal called tzarko. So the Rashba said you didn't do any malacha. Maybe this is Rabbanon, no malacha. And the Rambam Tos says, malacha deraisa chayev skila. So the question is, well, how do you understand this machlokas? What are they arguing about? So which one is offhand more mistaber, l'chora? The Rashba, right? The Rashba would say the definition of bishul is machal ben drusai. It's already mavushal. So someone did a bishul already. So getting across that line, a 50-yard line, a 33-yard line, whatever it is, getting across the machal ben drusai line, shush bishul chatzi bishulo, it's not fully cooked, but it's edible. That's why ben drusai stopped at that point. So you've got it to the point of bishul. So how could the Rashba says? So in bishul achavishul, it's already cooked. So how do you understand? Question is, what's the hezber hadavar? What's the hezber hadavar for the opinion? The Rambam and Tosis are basically saying there could be multiple acts of bishul done to a single piece of food. As a matter of fact, multiple people conceivably could be chayiv skila, could be chayiv chatas for having cooked the same piece of food. Not that they cooked it together, not shnayim shasu as pater, but in the morning someone took a piece of meat, put it, a raw piece of meat, put it on the grill, and got it to chati bishul. So he's chayiv for that act of a bishul, tzli. And then in the afternoon, another Jew comes along, takes a half-cooked piece of meat, puts it back on, half-grilled piece of meat, puts it back on, gets it to Mavushal Kol Tzarko. He's also chayav for bishul. What does this mean? What does this mean? So l'chor, the hezber adavar lies in this is our Shechter quotes on the Rav, and the part of this already appears in the Eglei Tal. It lies in looking at the Rambam carefully. The Rambam gives us the clue. Tosis doesn't say much about. Well, Tosis has something else that he adds. We'll come back to that that short Tosis. But the Rambam appears to give us this. Tosis, as we'll see, talks about the source. The Rambam gives us context and gives us an analogy and gives us insight into the Hezber Hadavar. A mavashal, the Rambam says, a mavashal al ha'ur davar shay mavushal kol tzarko o davar she'eno tzarech bishul klal pater. Now, there's two cases. I'm potter, there's no act of bishul, no chi of bishul, either if it's a rain of bishul tal sarko, that's how what we call ein bishul achar bishul, or if it's a davar she'eino tzarech bishul klo. Something that does not require bishul. What does that mean? So if you would just had that phrase, davar she'eino tzarech bishul klo, what does that mean? Okay, it's a rain of bishul tal sarko. It's cooked food. But it's clearly not what he means, because he gave, that was case number one, is it's kavar nizbashal. So davar she'eino tzarech bishul klo doesn't mean kavar mevushal. It means the food is raw, but it doesn't require bishul. Something that's perfectly fine as is. There is a machlokas acharonim. What exactly the Rambam means? The Mishneh Berurah and the Sharatzion later on that put that was the addition to the Maram Kamos. Sharatzion Siman Sifkan Kuf Yud Dalid. That's on the bottom of Sif Yud Dalid later in Siman Shin Yud Ches. Points out the Machlokas Acharonim. He points out the earlier Acharonim where he raises issues, the Chida and others. The question is, what does the Rambam mean by davar she'eino tzarech bishul klal? So the Mishneh Berurah is fond of the approach that what he means is something that cooking won't help. I take lettuce and I cook lettuce. It's not improved by cooking. If anything, it might be ruined by cooking. It's certainly not improved by cooking. Something that's not going to improve with cooking. So that's the minimal way of understanding this Rambam. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, though, the Aben Ezer points to Rabbi Akiva Eiger earlier, not in this siman, it comes up in one of the earlier siman about the Dinu Drabanan, siman Reish Nun Dalid, Se'if Dalid. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in the course of discussing some of the Dinu Drabanan, makes a comment, he references this Rambam, he says, yeah, something like an apple that's edible raw. It's Nechal Kemos Shehu Chai. It's edible as is raw. Apples are improved. If you bake an apple, it tastes different. Some people prefer a baked apple to a raw apple. It's a different flavor. It's a different presentation. But it's perfectly edible as is raw. That's that idea of Nechal Kemos Shehu Chai. That's, as you saw, that's a category that the Gemara talks about explicitly in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Ches, on top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, in the context of the Din Drabanan of Bishul Akum. The Gemara there opens the sugya Bishul Akum by positing two conditions the food has to meet in order to be susceptible to Bishul Akum. The second one is it's only going to be Bishul Akum if by the time the Nachri is done, the food is not only edible, but it's highly presentable. Olal shulchan malachim. The way the Rambam explains that, it means it's a socially significant food. The sort of food that you would serve to a guest. He produced not just an edible food, but a chashuv food. That's the second condition, is that that's only bishul akum if the prepared item, the finished product, is ola al shulchan malachim. The first condition the Gemara has, and the Rishonim seem to universally assume that we accept both conditions. The first condition is that Bishul Akum only applies to food that is not Nechal Kemoshu Chai. It wasn't edible raw, which Abi Pashas means the Nachri made a very significant contribution. He took a food that he wouldn't have eaten at all, and not only did he make it edible, but he even made it socially very significant. It was Eino Nechal Chai, and now it's Ol Al Shulchan Malachim. So they have this concept that's explicit Gemara in a drabanan context, Bishul Akum, Nechal Kemoshu Chai versus Eino Nechal Kemoshu Chai. So the Rav and others assume Pashas like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that this, when the Rambam says the Davar She'eino Tzarech Bishul, it doesn't just mean something like lettuce where food cooking isn't even helpful. It means even something like an apple. There's a Tosa, Memchesu talks about apples, got to figure what Tosa thinks about the apples. But that's how Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Rav and others understood this Rambam, that Davar She'eino Tzarech Bishul Klal means even to bake an apple. To take an apple and bake it, that's, the Rambam is saying, that's not Bishul. That's not Bishul. What does that mean? It's interesting. And why is he putting that together? Baking an apple is putter, the same way baking, rewarming, a fully grilled meat is pater. Well, what's the connection between Ein Bishul Achar Bishul and the Dovah Shein Tzar Bishul called the Nechel Kamo Shehu Chai? So the Rav explained like this. The Rambam L'Chora, let's talk about the general definition of Bishul. What is Bishul? So the Rambam seems to say that the basic act of Bishul has three different definitions depending on what sort of object you are working on. There's Bishul on food, and there's Bishul on water, and there's Bishul on non-food items. The Rambam already talks in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph when he begins to discuss the Malacha. He talks about baking bread, cooking food, ofes hapas, mevashos hamachal, os hasamimanim, o hamechamim es hamayim, heating water. So there's cooking food, there's heating water, and then in Halacha Vav, he says that there's also bishul on non-food items. Hamatich echad mimine matchos, if I melt metal, that's bishul. Or I melt wax or other items. That's bishul. Or I take something soft and I make it hard. I took clay and I bake it, and now it becomes a hard piece of earthenware. Rambam says, in case he makes sure that you get the principle, kalalo shal davar bein sharipa guf kasha hiksha guf rak. Whether you took something hard and you softened it through heat, you took something soft and you hardened it through heat, harei zechai mashur mevashal. It's based on a Gemara. The Rambam seems to be expanding it beyond the Gemara and Kladol. So maybe later on we could talk about that. But the Rambam, but for now, in sort of the big picture, the Rambam appears to be presenting multiple definitions of bishul. There's bishul on food, there's bishul on water, and there's bishul on non-food items. Let's work backward. Bishul on non-food items, he was very clear. The definition of bishul on non-food items is hardening or softening using heat. The definition of water is taking cold water and making it hot. That's not, however, the definition of food. It's not just taking food and making it hot, it's cooking it. If I take a steak and I make it hot, I can make it hot in a few minutes, but still could be absolutely raw. Bishul, afia, tzliya, means actually not just changing it physically, but changing it chemically, taking it from raw to edible. The definition of bishul on food is being machshirit l'achila through heat. If that's the case, then we understand well what the Rambam is saying over here. The definition of bishul is I made it edible through heat. So that's not going to apply if it's already edible, because it's naturally edible, nechel kamo shehu chai, particularly according to Riki Veiger's understanding, that even the apple is, baking an apple is pater on Shabbos. And by the same logic, mevushal ein bishul achar bishul, if it's already edible, because it was already cooked by me, by someone else, on Shabbos be'isser, before Shabbos be'heter, whatever the scenario is, it's already cooked. So mayi teinu mayi yosif, you might be rewarming it, or you might be what the Gemara earlier refers to as mitstamik v'yafalo. I have a fully cooked cholent, but I put it back on the fire and it becomes more geschmack and more juicy. I have a fully cooked pot of soup, but I put it back on the fire for another few hours and now it's overnight soup, and I have yapchik. Yapchik can bake. Some people think yapchik can bake for days. Right? It's already fully done. It's mevushal kol tzarko. I'll put it back on the fire, be mitstamek v'yafalo. So that's not bishul. That's not an act of bishul. Or if it's fully cooked, I'm just rewarming it. Either way, it's not an act of bishul. Why? Because I'm not being machshir l'achila through heat. It is kasher muchshir l'achila. So the Rav suggested, then you understand the Shitas HaRambam v'HaTosfos. The definition of bishul is hechshir l'achila through heat. So if it's true that taking it from raw to machal ben drusai is an act of hechshir l'achila, because before it was raw and now it's bedochak edible. So that is an act of hechshir l'achila through heat. And that's the Gemara in Menachas Daf Nun Zayin. You take something raw, you bring it to machal ben drusai, that's in violation of bishul. But by the same logic, let's say I take something that's already kamachu ben drusai and I put it back on the fire, and now I move it all the way to mevushal kol tzarko, or some even suggest I move it towards, I get from 50% to 75%, that's also an act of bishul. Why? I made it more mukshir l'achila, because at macho ben drusai, it's not fully edible. It's edible enough. Like the adchak, you would eat it. The listin, ben drusai, would eat it chasi bishul, but it's not fully cooked. So it's just organically applying the definition of bishul, so it stands to reason that either getting it to Macho Ben Drusai or moving it further towards Mevushal Kotsarko, any movement along that line is an act of Hekshar L'Achila. At the very least, getting it to Macho Ben Drusai is an act of Hekshar L'Achila, and getting it to Mevushal Kotsarko is an act of Hekshar L'Achila. Now it's fully edible. So that's why once you understand the Rambam's definition of Bishul, so all these pieces fall into place. So let's just recap, and then I want to take questions before we move on further in the sugya. Let's just recap. The Rambam, and we'll be mosif a little bit within this also. The we're looking at two interesting points at the end of Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. The Rambam is talking about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, and says specifically it's Mavushal Kol Sarko, his Shita, the Shita of Rambam and Tosus against the Rashba. And he's talking about Darish Ein Tzarech Bishul Klal. And we notice that, we wonder why the Rambam put those together. So both of those fall into place based on looking at the bigger picture of Halacha Aleph and Halacha Vav, in which again the Rambam presents three definitions of the act of Bishul. It's accomplishing one of three things through heat, depending on what the object under consideration is. If it's a non-food item, it's softening or hardening. If it's water, it's mechamim. If it's making it hot, and we know the definition of hot in halacha is yatzal ha'asbo, and we'll see that more as we get to that piece a few weeks from now, mitzvah Hashem. The yatzal ha'asbo is one of the part of the definition of bishul. And for food items, it's l'chora not just heating it, but b'makshir l'achil, taking it from inedible to edible through, or b'makshir l'achil through heat. So. Two pieces fall into place. Number one, the Rambam seconded davar she'eino tzarech bishul klal. So again, as we mentioned, Mishneh Berurah documents the Chidah is not sure how to define it. The Chayadam, he thinks Mishneh Berurah thinks the Chayadam and the Balatanya, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, think the Rambam only means the narrower understanding of this kula. There's something where the cooking just does nothing for it, improves it, doesn't improve it at all. But again, but the broader definition, broader understanding of this kula of the Rambam, davar she'eino tzarech bishul, is what? Is as Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, no! It means it's already roi l'achila. The apple might be improved, might be changed for baking, but it's already roi l'achila. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's definition in particular works well with his general understanding that that bishul is the act of hekshar l'achila. If it's already fully mukshar l'achila, it's already fully edible, so then there's no bishul. And a raya to that, by the way, is when you look at the way the Rambam talks about Hilchas Bishul Akum. In the last parak of Machos Asur is parak Yud Zayin, which is a miscellany. Of course, the parak Yud Zayin discusses a whole slew of different topics, small topics in the halachas of kashrus. So there are a number of halachas there dedicated to Bishul Akum. So the Rambam is interesting. When the Rambam, the reason I put the Maram Komos is for the following he'ara. If you look at the Rambam quotes those two dinim, as the way I presented before, it said that the Bishul Akum, the opening of the sugya, Tapalam Ches Saman Alpha and Vodazara, you have the two conditions. Bishul Akum implies if it's Eon Echel Kamoshu Chai and Ola Al Shulcha Malachim. So it's usually presented the way it presented before. That both of them, both those conditions have to do with the significance of the Nachri's contribution. He didn't stop just, make it food a little nicer. He really made a big impact. Because on the one hand, before he cooked it, it was totally inedible. On the other hand, after he cooked, now is it edible, but it's gewaldic. It's all Shulchan Malachim. That's the way we usually understand those two conditions, that they're very much parallel. The Rama, however, does not present them as parallel. If you take a look, the distinct impression you get is that they really come from very different places. The Rambam says, Halacha Tezva, in Halacha Yudalid, he gives the concept of Bishul Akum. There's an Easter, There's an isidra. Chazal forbade midrabanim mishum chasnus. Chazal forbade food that was cooked by the nachri. And cooked by the nachri sounds like means he took something that was raw, that was in, excuse me, not just raw, but he took something that was not edible raw and cooked it. So it has to be eon nechal k'mo shulchai. Then Allah Tez Vavi says, and by the way, I told you this minister of Bishalakim, you should know that Bishalakim only applies if he created something which is olal shulchum olachim, because he, Rambam says, the sort of thing that you with which you would be mechabed a guest has social significance. So then the concern, the tam hatakana, the reason why Chazal forbade Bishalakim, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, is mishum chasnas, to create some speed bumps, to limit social interaction between Jews and non-Jews, in order to avoid, Rachman al-Islam, going down a road that will end in intermarriage. So Chazal wanted the Hekeir, wanted some speed bumps to limit socializing between Jews and non-Jews. So they said, you can't, if we're going to limit the way you eat together, so that's going to be a reminder that proceed with caution. So the Rambam says that Tama Takana is really relevant primarily with socially significant food, the sort of thing with which you mechabed a guest. That's when there's a problem of chasnas. So that's why Chazal only imposed this din, I told you about Halach Yadalan. Bishalakam, Chazal only imposed that Isidra Banan on Ola al Shulcham Ulacham. It's interesting, the Rambam is not putting them together. In other words, the second condition of Ola al Shulcham Ulacham, that it is Bishalakam, it is food that was cooked by a guy, but Chazal didn't forbid that type of Bishalakam because the Tama Takana doesn't apply. Whereas the first criterion of it's only bishalakim if it was inedible raw, eon echak moshu chai, that's early halachi yadal, that's sort of like in the basic definition of what it means to be bishalakim. Not just that, oh, then the tama takana doesn't apply. It sounds like that's not bishal. Baking an apple isn't called cooking. It's not because the tama takana doesn't apply. Not a specific detail of how Chazal formulated the takana drabban of bishalakim. For the Rambam, that's part of the B'chol Tarakul when you define Bishal. B'chol Tarakul, part we've started right last week talking about the Hagdar of Bishal. Part of the Hagdar of Bishal is maybe Klishin versus Klisheni. Part of the Hagdar of Bishal we discussed last week is Be'or as opposed to Bechama. And part of the Hagdar of Bishal, says the Rambam, is that it has to be that you, when you started, it was Eino Necha Kamo Shulchai. It was inedible raw. Because the definition of Bishal, Rambam says, is what? As Rav explained, is B'machsher, something L'achila. So if the apple is already edible, baking an apple is not bishul. Not in Hilchas Shabbos, not in Hilchas Bishul Akum, nowhere. It's not specific to Bishul Akum. It's just not called bishul. As for instance, the poskim write, and we'll meet them in a different year when we get to the halachas of Bishul Akum, there are other ways of preparing food that are not bishul and are not susceptible to Bishul Akum. So you have a nachri who has a pickle factory. He takes cucumbers and pickles them, or even if you have a vegetable that you would not eat raw, you would only eat pickled. The din is that's not included in the din of Bishalakim. Why? Because that's not cooking. That's something different process. That's kibush. It may make that vegetable much more appealing, but it doesn't matter. It's not bishal. Before I can get to the details, it has to be bishal. So Rama says just like pickling isn't bishal, baking, cooking a food that's already edible, that's not bishul, because the definition of bishul isn't just chemical changes through heat. It's hechsher l'achila through heat. So that's true in bishul akim, it's true here as well. So that number one, that diuk in the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuras seems to be a raya to the approach of Rabbi Yeager and the Rav and others, that when the Rambam says darav shen tzarach bishul, he meant even apples. It's the same as the same nechal kamo shuchai as in Avodah Zarah, because again, it all goes back to the Rambam's understanding of what Bishul means. Bishul means Hechsher L'Achila. And this idea that Bishul means Hechsher L'Achila, then we understand well why he put Davar She'er Tzarek Bishul and Mavushal Kivar, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, together in the same halacha, because fundamentally the same idea. Both of them are already fully edible before you get started, so there's no, when you heat them, whatever changes occur because of the heat, those are changes that aren't called bishul because it's already fully mukshir l'achila. The Mela, the Rambam's shita that the ein bishul acha bishul is only once the mevushal chal sarko fits in beautifully as well. So again, you have a machlokas, we have a Mishnah that tells us saying bishul achavishul. Practically, it's only going to apply when you also are not in violation of any deemed rabbanon. Either you're not al gabi ha'esh, or you're al gabi ha'esh with the rules of hachazar and so forth. The big machlokas, Rajba, Ramban, Udi Imei, versus Tosis and Rambam, Udi Imayu, whether ain bishul achavishul kicks in as soon as bishul was already done once. That's the position of the Rashba. Once someone got to Machal Medrusai, that was Bishul. There's only one Bishul per food item. A little bit like Ein Tochen Achar Tochen. An item could only have undergone Bishul once. So once you cooked it once, you can't be Chayiv if it already had a first cooking. That's the approach of the Rashba. So once it's Kamachal Medrusai, to put it back, to reheat it and cook it further, the Rashba thinks it's not an act of Bishul B'Shabbos. The Rambam toast to say, no, as long as you're being makshir l'achila, that conceivably, okay, well, if that's a definition, so apply it. So getting to Gemach ben Yisrael is a chiddush. That getting to Gemach ben Yisrael is considered to be hechshir l'achila. I could have guessed that you have to get to Moshe Kalsarka. That's a chiddush of Menachas ben Nunzain. Getting it to partially cooked is already called bishul, but certainly taking it from partially cooked to fully cooked, that's definitely considered to be hechshir l'achila. So that's, again, this shita of the Rambam and Tosfos. They said the Rambam and Tosfos each contribute something to understand the shita. The Rambam contributes Hezber, because the Rambam put Ein Bishul Achavishul alongside Davish and Tzarich Bishul Klal. Incidentally, the Din of Davish and Tzarich Bishul Klal, the Magen Mishnah tells you that the Rambam's source was the Gemara that Bliner will get to later on, the Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Mem and Beis, Gemara's discussion whether there's bishul on oil or not. So the Rama said, obviously there are foods that don't lend themselves to bishul. Why? Because they're good as is. The Tosis we'll open it. We'll take some questions. Then we'll come to Tosis, who doesn't add in terms of hezber, but adds in terms of mocker. Questions? You've been waiting very patiently for a long time.
Yeah. So wouldn't it assume that the Rambam is defining that ability subjectively? As in, if Michael Ben Dersai is already objectively considered edible, that's not the focus.
You want to know how do you...
If it's about making something edible through heat, then that would just, then shouldn't it... Meaning, he should say that it's already considered edible when it comes to Michael Ben Dersai. But still, he says it's not because it needs to be a social cold circle, where people, I guess, are... more likely to eat it?
It's still partially raw. Now, shlish bishulo, Rashi shlish bishulo, Rabbam's chatzi bishulo, that's half cooked means half raw. I don't mean to be the pessimist, but if the cup is half full, it means it's also half empty. It's a cup, partially full, partially empty. So if you tell me, again, we don't mean one piece of the meat is cooked, the other piece is raw. We mean qualitatively, it's halfway along the journey from fully raw to fully cooked. Or for the Rashi, it's a third of the way in the journey from fully raw to fully cooked. Fully cooked means it's now fully edible. Machal ben Drusai essentially means, at least loosely speaking, it's nechal de'etchak. When you're in a pinch, you would eat it. It's really half-baked, literally. If you need to, you could eat it. If you're a ganav, if you're ben Drusai on the run, you're listing. So okay, you could wolf it down. But this is not the way you would normally want to eat it if you could. This is less than rare. Now, some people like their meat rare. Some people like their fish rare. Machal ben Drusai is less than rare. We can handle whether machal ben Drusai is a half or a third of the way to medium or to rare. That's maybe an interesting question about where do you draw the line of Mavushal called Sarko, but Mavushal called Sarko is rare or is medium done, or some maybe would say well done, others would say well done is mitzamek viralo. I don't want to get into the culinary conversation, but Mavushal called Sarko is those. Mavushal called Sarko is in the zone of rare and medium and so on and so forth. Machal ben Drusai, if you're in a restaurant, they bring out Machal ben Drusai, you send it back. It's half done. This is not the way people don't normally eat things ben Drusai. People normally eat things which are mavushal called tarko. Machal ben Drusai is necha de'etchak. If you're stuck in a pinch, if you're camping and the fire is going out, it's too much of a drain, okay, we'll just make do we'll swallow the food, which is half or a third cup. Is it subjective? I don't think it's individually subjective. It might be subjective in the sense that different societies might have different cultures, perhaps have different senses of what's considered to be fully cooked. That might be true. That's certainly somewhere we get in a different year. I think next year, no, the year after, to Bishalakum. We'll see in the context of Bishalakum, the Shach points out that even what's considered to be edible raw changes, or what's considered Olal Shulchan Malachim changes from society to society. Our great grandparents would have been horrified at the notion of eating raw carrots. Raw carrots are for rabbits. Human beings eat tzimis. Nowadays, who cares? Do they still serve tzimis in the calf on Friday night? They've given out my day. It was like the minute. They would put out the I don't know how many people actually ate it, but it was on the menu. There was always tzimis. Again, 100 years ago, Adrabah, people only ate tzimis, didn't eat raw carrots. So these things definitely can change from society to society, but I don't think it's individually subjective. There is a standard of Machlo Ben Jerusalem. There's a standard of what's considered Rosh Hashanah Sarko, and a third to half of the way there is Kamacho Ben Jerusalem.
Right. And how does the Raman
Parakot Beis
fit in, where
he
seemingly...
Oh, good. We'll get to that soon. Well, when it comes to Tosfos, we'll get to that. Yeah.
I was interested to know about non-food items, like metal, for example. What's the shear for how hot or how soft they have to become?
That's an interesting question. I want to hold off for now because it's not really our focus, but we could come to that sort of like a separate segment later on the halachas of Bishul to figure that out. Yeah, it's an interesting question. Especially also, the Rambam presents both softening and hardening. The Gemara in Kal Gadol, in the 7th parak, seems to think that only one of those is Bishul, so there's a lot going on here. And the Rambam also seems to have a third scenario of Bishul on non-food items, which is, I think Rabbi Sabolovsky may have mentioned in a Chabura, Mechamas HaMatechas HaShetayos HaGachelos, heating metal until it glows. So I believe, if I remember correctly, the Rambam thinks it's Mavir, Rambam thinks it is or also is Mevashel. Either way, that's actually very relevant to electric bulbs, because when you turn on the old-fashioned filament bulb, an incandescent bulb, that's a Malacha Daraisa, because you're heating metal until it glows, which is either Bishul or Mavir or both. In Bishul, that's this Rambam, Perek Tes Halacha Vav. So that's a sort of a third entry under the non-food item, so that's... Yeah, there's definitely what to talk about. Okay, so now let's pivot to the other half of this discussion. Again, the other half of the discussion about the Machlokes Rashba Rambam. At what point do we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is a Tosfos. So Tosfos doesn't give us much in terms of the Hezber. He states the Shita, Nizbasha Lagamri, but he does give us a Mokar. Where does it come from? So Kigon Tarnagolus to Rabbi Abba. He said, look at that Gemara, the Mishnah is on Kufim Hamid Beis. So the Gemara is an intriguing and some mysterious Gemara that follows that Mishnah. The Gemara said, but the first line is Kigon Mai, Amar of Safar, Gon Tarnagolus to Rabbi Abba. What's the case? What's the case? We say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, like Rabbi Abba's chicken recipe. The Amora Rabbi Abba had a chicken recipe, so his type of Rabbi Abba's chicken. It's interesting. Like you wouldn't imagine that you have a recipe named for an Amora. Interesting thing, and it's actually, as we'll see in a moment, it's going to become pretty important. Rav Safra, who says that, then goes on to say that he himself went to Rabbi Abba's home and had eaten Rabbi Abba's chicken, and it sounds like he would have gotten very ill if not for the fact that Rabbi Abba gave him a drink which restored him. So this is, and the Gemara goes on to make it seem like this might be the type of food that if it's not your taste, you will find less than appetizing. The Gemara goes on to talk about in different cultures, different people find different things appetizing. And what's appetizing in Eretz Yisrael, what it was perhaps revolting to Bnei Bavel, and vice versa. So anyhow, Rashi there says, what's his tarnagolti to Rabbi Abba? Mevashla, he cooked it. The shora osa yamim rabin bechamin limchos me'eleha. He cooked it and let it soak in the hot water for days until it dissolved. It's dissolved chicken. Why was anyone making dissolved chicken? Ochel l'refua. It was assumed to have some sort of medical therapeutic benefits. So this is very well cooked. Now, Rashi is, at the very least, this perish, we always have to ask, what kasha is Rashi coming to answer? So number one, he's coming to answer, within the context of the Gemara, on Kuf Memei, he's explaining why this was not appealing, if this was not something they used to. We can imagine, you overcook chicken until it dissolves. Rav Safra said that was his example. That's Ein Bishul HaKadosh. That's fully done. That's fully done. You know, no more, or at the very least, maybe you already fully cooked it, then put it back in to viter, fall apart. That's not called Bishul. Ein Bishul HaKadosh. So that explains, number one, why it was Ma'us. Tosfos seems to be making a different point, which is, what's Rav Safra saying could go in Mai? Well, why do you have to give an example? You said it was cooked. What's the example? What's the point of the example? So Tosa says, oh, meaning fully cooked, not stam that it was half cooked and you put it back in. No. Again, the language of Kol Shabba Bechamin, the Erev Shabbos, sounds a little casual. Come in hot water before Shabbos. Rashi, by the way, and the Mishnah has to say, Kolomar Shenis Vashel. Right. Kolomar always introduces a non-literal interpretation. Baba Chaman sounds like it was soaked in hot water briefly. I says, no, that's really an expression. It means you cooked it. So we understand what Rav Safra is doing. Rav Safra is explained, Tosis tells us, don't think this means that it was Kemach Avenger. No, mom was like Rabbi Abba's chicken recipe. This was very fully cooked. Now you're putting it back in for more to fall apart further. That's when we apply Ein Bishlach. Bishlach Tosa says, so Gemara said, it's not going to this Bashlach, it's already Mavoshal Kalzarko. No Macha Ben Drosayah. We're talking about Rabbi Abba's chicken recipe. So then, of course, the question is, so that's a good point. Again, the Rambam had helped us understand the Shita. Why is it true? What does it mean? Tosa helps us figure out where it comes from and proving that it's true. And as a matter of fact, you turn around and it's a Kasha on the Rajba. What's Taka? Well, how would the Rajab respond? No? It's a Gemara. How do you have Machlokas? So it says, Beferish Gemara. It's a Beferish Gemara. No? Beferish Gemara. So, how would the Rajab respond? So, Lachor, the answer is, who says you're going to say Pshat like Rashi? Rajab himself does not comment on what Tarna Golta de Rabbi Abba is. But there are others, Gaonim and Rishonim, who talk about it. They don't all assume that it was heavily, heavily cooked. Rabbeinu Chanano, on the side of the Gemara, says it was melucha biyoser. Kishimavakshin la'ochla shorinos of mayim cham. It was heavily salted. You want to cook it, you want to eat it, you soak it in hot water. And that happens to be the approach of the Rif as well. It's often the case that Rabbeinu Chanano and the Rif are aligned. This is one of those examples. Rav Nisim Gaon, and also here on this, they're both, Rabbi Chanan and Nitzan go both appear Al Gilyon HaGemara on that Amud Kufim Hamid Beis. So he quotes Rav Haigon. It's a Tarnagol Shemavashim Osa. You cook the chicken, and then you take it out of the liquid, and you fill it, you stuff it with spices. When you want to eat it, you put it back in the hot water. Ochan Osa Ki Ilu Hichama. So number one, presumably these Rishonim are all trying to solve problem number one, which is why was this so unappealing to people who weren't ready for the recipe? So Rashi had said it was unappealing because it was overcooked. But in Chanan, the Riffer is saying it was unappealing because it was so salty. You put it back in hot water so it got some of the salt out and perhaps cooked it, but it was very, very salty. If you weren't ready for that, whoa. And Rav Haigon perhaps is maybe that's the point of the Tavlin, in Rav Haigon's parish. That this was a heavily, you cooked the chicken, then you packed it, you stuffed it with spices. So if you weren't ready for that, it's almost like, you know, Ashkenazim who's starting Sephardic food, often it's overwhelming because you're not ready for the spice. So that sounds like what the Gemara is talking about, the Eretz Yisrael cuisine versus the Bavli cuisine. Rav Safra, the Amora from Bavel, is eating in the home of Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba sounds like he's an Israeli Amora. Rabbi Abba had and very spicy food, Rabbi Gaon says. The chicken was packed with spices. Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Safra, you know, imagined it was schug. Rabbi Safra didn't realize. He thought that was just, you know, pesto. He didn't realize green schug is the sharpest of all. Whoa! Okay, so different approaches in the Rishonim, just in terms of Perish HaGemara, was it the food overwhelming because it was overcooked, or because it was highly salty, or because it was highly spicy? But this also may be relevant to understanding, not just understanding Pshat and the story the Gemara tells, but again, the halachic point that Rav Safra is making. Could go in Tarnagol to Rabbi Abba. What do you mean could go in Tarnagol to Rabbi Abba? So Rashi and Tosfos, it means Dafka that was already fully cooked. But for the others, it may mean Dafka wasn't fully cooked. If anything, let's talk about Rav Haigon in particular, that Rav Nisim Gaon is quoting, Kech Pirsha Adonenu Hai Gaon Zal. It may be that it was only partially cooked. Often cooks will do that. If you know you're going to be reheating a food, sometimes if you know you're going to be reheating the kugel, not on the Shabbos context. Shabbos context is different. It needs to be a Mishul Kol Tzog if you want to reheat it. But sometimes, let's say you're putting it back on the fire on Yom Tov, but you're preparing the food before Yom Tov, you might dafka not get it fully cooked. Do the kugel 2/3, put it in the fridge, put it in the freezer. Then take it out on Yom Tov, put it back on the fire and get it fully cooked. Otherwise, when you re-warm it, you're going to end up overcooking it. So that, if anything, that might be where Rav Haigon is saying. You pre-did the chicken, then may dafka not have been fully cooked. And then you stuffed it with the spices. And then, when you're ready to serve it, before you serve it, you put it back in hot water to finish it off. So that putting it back in hot water, maybe dafka, it was not yet mevushal called sarko. And getting to mevushal called sarko, dafka, perhaps, dafka when you put it back on. Certainly, Rav Haigon is not making any reference to being overcooked. Rashi understands that overcooked is why it was most. But if it was overcooked because of salt or because of spice, if it was ma'us because of salt or spice, there's no indication necessarily that it was mevushal kol tzarko beforehand. So at the very least, Tosis' raya falls, no pun intended, but I guess I am intending it, Tosis' raya falls apart. And Tosis' raya is predicated on Pirush Rashi in the Gemara, but there are other Perushim, so the Rashi can accept one of the Perushim. And then, I don't know what time. If any others, what's Rav Safra saying? He's going to go to Rabbi Abba. According to Rabbi Haigon, maybe Dafke is saying Fakert. Even when it's not yet fully cooked, it was only 2/3 cooked, and you put it back on. That's mutter. To put it back in a clear shashal gabesh is mutter, like the Rashba. So it could be the Machloki Taisus and Rashba is already a Machlokas Rashi or Haigon. How to understand Pshat in the Gemara. Now let's close with two points. The second point is halacha l'maisa. The first point is flowing from this discussion about how you understand the Gemara Kuf Mem Hei and the relevance of that. Right, we said there are at least three perushim. Either it's because it was an overcooked item, or it was a highly salty item, or it was a very spicy item. Different explanations why it was most. And we're saying also different explanations what the halacha chiddush is. What's Rav Safra's point? Kigon, what's he adding when he says tarnagol to Rabbi Abba, as opposed to any other food? So again, Tosfos indicates, according to Rashi, the chiddush is dafka it's mevushal kol tzarko. I'm suggesting, according to the Rashba, one of the other perushim, specifically Haigo, might be dafka saying the opposite. It doesn't have to be, even if it's Targol Abba, which wasn't fully cooked after the first round of cooking. I should note, we'll get to it next week, the Rush has a third potential understanding what the Chiddush of Targol Abba is, Lahalacha. He says the point is that it was dry. That's where we're going next week. The next segment of Ein Bishal Lach HaBishal, we'll focus on Mitzvah in the coming week, is Lach versus Yavish. So keep that in mind. We'll be back in this Gemara. The Rush is going to bring us back to this Gemara. Now the Beis Yosef points out a steer in Rambam's. This is what appears in the new tours as Se'if Dalid Part Beis in the Beis Yosef. Here in the Daraisa Malachas, Here, in Perek Tes, he says that's only the Mevushal called Tzarkra, as we've been saying throughout. Right? That's the sheet of the Rambam Tosus. But he points out that one Perek Chav Beis, the Rambam goes through the Lama Tes Malachas again, the level Drabanan. So in Chav Beis is where he quotes the language of this Mishnah. Darshan is bashal kodem haShabbos or nishra bechamin milifnei haShabbos. If it was cooked before Shabbos or it was soaked in hot water before Shabbos, now it's cold again. Still mutar l'shroso bechamin b'Shabbos. You can still put it back in the hot water. But if it was never in hot water, it's raw. So then you can't cook it on Shabbos. So the Beis Yosef says, look, here it sounds like here are two different cases. Rashi, as we saw a few minutes ago, Rashi said, Kol Shabbat B'chamin, it means Dafka Nisbah. He interpreted that means Nisbashel, Kelomar Nisbashel. But the Rambam clearly does not say that. He's saying there are two different cases. There's Nisbashel, and there's the case of the Mishnah, which is Nishra B'chamin. So the Beis Yosef says, this is a problem, because it sounds like if Nishra B'chamin is separate from Nisbashel, doesn't that mean that it's soaked in hot water, but not fully cooked? That's Nisbashel. So he says, this Ram Perek Chav Beis Halacha Ches sounds like a stira to Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. Here it sounds like it does not have to be fully cooked in order to say Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. That is the kasha of the Beis Yosef. And he works on a teretz. So in the footnote, they point out one approach to understanding this, which appears to be very geschmack, is the Rambam. Rambam typically is aligned with the Rif. Every once in a while, he'll disagree. But he was from the Masora of the Rif. He's based Midrash Shal Rif. The Rima Magash is one of the Rif's primary Talmidim. And the Rima Magash was the Rebbe of Rabbeinu Maimon, the father of the Rambam. So the Rambam is a great grand Talmud of the Rif. So as they point down the footnote to the Beis Yosef, that if the Rambam is aligned with the Rif, this is very geschmack. If the Rambam didn't give us pshat doesn't take a stand on pshat in the Gemara, that's not what he's doing in Mishnah Torah. But the Rif did. The Rif said Tarnagol to Rabbi Abba like a Reina Chananel. That means it was Moluach B'Yoser. Oh, so it's Moluach B'Yoser. So then just a little bit of heat will already get it to fully cooked. That's going to come up elsewhere as well. So that's what they suggest. It means whether it's fully Mevushal called Tzarkra because you took a raw thing and cooked it from 0 to 100, Davrishin is Bashal, or you took a raw food, you salted it, heavily salted it, and then finished it off with soaking in hot water. Either way, if either of those two processes happened before Shabbos, either normal cooking to Mevushal called Tzarkra or heavily salting plus a little bit of a hot soak, either one is already makes it the equivalent of Mevushal called Tzarkra. Bear in mind, the Rambam also thinks that the apple is not susceptible to Bishol. So then, that's very geschmack. That's not the way the Rambam understands in the Perush HaMishnayis, but the Rambam seems to have shifted from the Perush HaMishnayis to the Mishnah Torah, which is a not uncommon phenomenon. Then let me just close with a Torah Allah al Maisa. So again, where have we been? We have a din of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. That's a Mishnah, Kufim Hei, quoted Lamates. Again, you're going to have to also make sure that you avoid the Dinim Drabanan al Gabi Ha'esh. You have to avoid Shehiyah HaChazara. She is not really so relevant. She is passively even from before Shabbos, but HaChazara Nesinim Echarash. Assuming you avoid any problems al Gabi Ha'esh, the Dinim Drabanan, in terms of Bishol, if it's already cooked, so there's no violation of Bishol. But how cooked is fully? So there are several issues to think about. The first issue that was our focus this week is how cooked does it have to be to qualify for Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. So again, the Rashba, together with several others, the Ramban and the Rosh say, Kamachu Ben Drusai, that's already enough. And Tosis and the Rambam, together with many others, Ben Yeruchim, Hagos Maimini, Rosh Mimitz, no, you only apply in Bishol Achar Bishol once it's Mevushal called Tzarkra. And by digging into the Rambam, we came to our appreciation of why this should be true. That the Hezbra Adavra, the underlying Lamdas here, is the Rajba thinks that there's only one bishul per customer. So if they had a bishul, you can't have another bishul on the same food. But the Rambam would say, no, the definition of bishul, this is just a natural consequence of it. It's not a new rule, this is a natural consequence of the definition of bishul. The same way a bishul means hechsher la'achila through heat, and therefore the davar she'enotzar bishul klal nechko shuchai doesn't lend itself to bishul. So too, if it's already fully cooked, it doesn't lend itself to bishul. It's not a new separate rule the way the Rajba says. Okay, and then from Tosus, we came to appreciation of how we know it to be true, what's the makar, and that we saw that the ultimate, the machlokas, may be rooted in the machlokas and din, may be rooted in machlokas of Pirush HaGemara. What is this mysterious tarnagol to Rabbi Abba? Knowing what Rabbi Abba's recipe was will explain to us what's Rav Safra's point. He says, Kagon Mai. Is he saying, as the Rosh said, oh, only because it's dry? We'll get to that next week. Or is he saying, as Rashi and Tosa understood, only because it's fully cooked? Or is he saying, as Rav Haigon, and the Rashi might say, even if it's not full, even if it's not fully cooked, even if it's a Targol to Rabbi Abba, it's only two-thirds done. It's Kemachal ben Drusai, that is good enough. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch and Ziv Dalet says clearly, Atzmil Vushal Kol Tzarko, like the Rambam. The Bir Halacha there, at first he's very surprised. He says, okay, you have a Rambam, but on the other hand, you have not just the Rashbam, you have the Ramban. He gives you a list of Rishonim who agree with the Rashbam. So he says, a little surprising that the Rambam was the Shemachaber so convinced to Machmor like the Rambam. But then he says, well, let's think about it more. As a matter of fact, there are plenty of Rishonim involved in this, as we already quoted several of them. And he says, and there are more. He gives you a long list of Rishonim on both sides. Ma'aracha mul ma'aracha. Plenty of Rishonim who agree with the Shita of the Rashba, but there are also plenty of Rishonim agree with Shita of Tosus and the Rambam. So he says, look, it's a big, big machlokes Rishonim, big group of Rishonim on both sides. There's mamash a suffix and an issur deraisa to take food that's already kemachal ben drusai, but not mamashal called sarko, and to heat it further is a machlokes whether it's mutter or a chiyuv skila. Okay, so he says, I understand why the machaber is. Says halacha almighty, we would not allow you to do this unless it is mevushal kol tzarko. And he adds one final point, which is relevant here and elsewhere. He says, however, we will sometimes make use of the opinion of the Rashba and the Ramban and the Rosh that once it's gerei kemachal ben drusai ein bishul achar bishul, and that is the following: that we started hilchas bishul. I said we're going to go al seder shulchan aruch. You might be wondering, if I go to Seder Shulchan Aruch, how do we start from Siv Gimel? Siv Gimel, then Siv Dalet. And next week we'll continue Siv Dalet. Talach and Yavish, week after we'll go on Siv Hey, about Bishul Achar Afia. When you're going to Seder Shulchan Aruch, what happened to the first two Sifim? The answer is, the first two Sifim are not the Melechas Bishul. They are a general principle that's applied to Bishul. The first two Sifim are about the din of Maisa Shabbos. The din, presumably, Rabbanon. They didn't presumably midrabanan that if a Jew violated Chil Shabbos, that there's an Iser to make use of that on Shabbos. A lot of discussion, Tanam, Amoraim, Rishonim, about the details. Is it Aser for him? Is it Aser for other people? If he did it Bishogi, did it B'mezin, and so on and so forth. That's the din of Maisa Shabbos. The product of Chil Shabbos is at least somewhat forbidden for at least some Jews to enjoy, to make use of on Shabbos. So it's discussed in the context of someone cooked food, but it applies to other malachas as well. That's the content of the first two Sifim. That's why we start from Sif Gimel, because we're looking at the dinam of malachas bishul per se. Now, the Mishnah Brura ends that piece of Bir Halacha by saying, let's say I have a Jew who took a food that was kemachal ben drusai, a third cooked, half cooked, two-thirds cooked, and he put it back on the fire, on Shabbos, leaving aside Shiyan HaChazar. Let's say he put it into the Kli Rishon, Shlo Gabay Esh. He took half-cooked chicken and put it into the pot of chicken soup. Doesn't sound very hygienic, but leaving that aside, that's a half-cooked rice. He had noodles. It turns out the noodles weren't fully done. And he put the noodles, the half-baked, the half-cooked noodles, into the pot of chicken soup after it was off the fire. So the question is, did we now have a Maaser Shabbos? Now the noodles got fully cooked and by sitting in the chicken pot in the pot of chicken soup on a Friday night. Is that a Maaseh Shabbos problem? According to Pesach v'Shulchan Aruch, aligned with Tosfos and the Rambam, that Jew violated a Molacha Bishul Daraisa. That was a Chiyuv Chatos. It's a Chiyuv Skila, if it was Eidim Asra. So the Bir Halacha says, but we have a comment of the Prima Gadim. Rabbi Shechter's Nusach is the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim every 50 to 100 pages. Maybe it says 20 pages. I don't remember that Nusach. Every once in a while, Mishnah Berurah mentions the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim is the principle that if there's a machlokas aposkim, whether something's aser mutter, even if we accept the position that asers, but there's no din of Maaseh Shabbos if there's a legitimate opinion that holds that it was mutter. So even though we don't hold, we would not tell you you're allowed to do it, but if someone did it, as long as what he did was mutter according to a legitimate opinion, we're not going to bedieved apply Maaseh Shabbos. So are you allowed to be mevashel something which is kamach medrusai? No. But if someone did, we wouldn't say that the food is forbidden over the course of Shabbos, because after all, there is a chevel rishonim, there is a significant group of rishonim who hold that kamach medrusai, you already say, ein bishol acher bishol. So l'chatchila, in a literal sense, l'chatchila, we follow the Rambam and Tosas, but b'dieved, if it already got cooked inappropriately on Shabbos, b'dieved, it's already done, we're not going to apply Maaseh Shabbos as long as they had already been kamach ben drusai before Shabbos. Rabbi Siyah Shekhanach, and Richem, next week we're going to move on to the other half of Siv Dalad, which is there a difference between Lach and Yavish? And that's going to take us back to Mechamim and Samayim.